Welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show. This podcast is sponsored by the Growth Platform Framework. B2B FinTech startups accelerate customer acquisition and set up business operations to scale systematically. When you're ready to grow, reach out to us at richard@ipractitioners.com. Now, over to the show with Richard Dosey, founder and host. Hey, what's up, everyone? Today on the show, we have Fabian Fischer, founder of MassUp. Hey, Fabian, great to have you on the show. How are things going in Germany today?
Well, very hot, but very well. And thanks for having me. And hello to you and to your listeners.
Cool. I really, really appreciate you taking the time. Let's kick off the show by you telling us a bit about yourself.
Well, like you said, I'm a founder of MassUp. I'm over 20 years in digital business, especially insurance business. Everybody likes that business, but I found it exciting for the last 20 years working with many companies like Zurich, Allianz, and many other big shots. And a few years ago, we thought the time is right, company, insurance company. We call it today InsurTech, but the original idea was simply to deliver a solution to the market that was missing. So that's where MassUp was born roughly 4 years ago.
Cool. And I mean, let's take a couple of steps back and just maybe get a bit of background about you. I know you started out a number of years ago. You've also launched successful companies over the last 15 years. But what prompted you to set off on your own in the beginning? What made you jump over the fence and say, listen, I want to be a founder? It'd be interesting to find out.
Yeah, well, that's maybe a long time ago. I think the first company I founded in was 18. It went down a year later, so it was not a big topic. But I really liked always to do some own stuff and try to new things and develop it. And roughly in end of the 90s, I started with digital business and hired into a new company at that time that was totally in the new economy times of that. And since that time, I'm working digital, and the agency called MediaMan grew over the time. I got a partner of this company. I was a managing director for a long time and had a deep look and a deep development from the time where we used CD-ROMs up to now developing the whole digital processes. And insurance was a big part of it. Like I said, we worked for the first digital systems of Zurich in Germany, for example. So we developed it really from the basic on. And the agency is always a good hub spot for people who want to work independently. So it always helped me to do new things, to be on an entrepreneurial side. And so we did that for the last 20 years, and we founded a company in China. What was a big adventure back in 2006, we founded other startups. So it was always a very adventurous ride and still always the hunger to try something new. And so that's what we did with MassUp again, like that. We said, okay, we did so much with the agency, but I wanted to start it all over and make it up again. Make it small and then grow it up again in our own business. So that was drive us to MassUp again.
Oh, interesting background then. I mean, you mentioned the agency, MediaMan, and how has that venture helped you? How's that experience helped you with MassUp?
Well, first of all, it's a company that has very digital roots. It was a digital agency from the beginning. So we had a breed of people around us, a lot of talented, who always tried to develop something that was new in every stage of the development of the new era, what is called at that time. So that was a good surrounding to start something and to think always new and to redefine you every year. No, I think no year in the last 20 years was the same. It was always something new coming up in these areas. So there was a steady entrepreneurial innovation drive force in that agency. So that helped a lot. And for sure, the founders of the agency were built in the 90s and now partners with me, the InsurTech Hub, are a great team to work together and to develop new ideas. So it's a bunch of entrepreneurial-minded people that are open to start something new again and not always try to do the same and just to do it a bit better, but to start new ways, new adventures. So this kind of hub helped a lot. And for sure, it's a group of over 100 people, many developers, UX guys, etc. There's a lot of experience and knowledge, what gives us an advantage in our business because we can use these talent, we can scale if we want, and we have it on the international. Like I said, we're in Germany, we are in Shanghai, China, we are as well in Boston, US. So we have all big time zones and can use these very global talent as well. It helps in many ways.
Right. And it sounds like obviously you've got a very interesting and diverse network and team around you. And, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, the idea of MassUp was born out of this network and this team. Is that
Yes, correct. So we tried at one point, or decided at one point, that we, besides the service business, wanted to start our own products. There was a fintech that we started in Shanghai with the colleagues over there, Liquiz, for microcredit for blockchain platform that was totally new at that time. And MassUp was very clearly a pass because we did insurance a lot. I did especially the insurance processes in the agency. So it was very clear pass. We said, hey, we know so much about these topics.
So, you know, obviously, you know, MassUp is sort of in the insurtech world.
To go into insurance business. And it was a good time. We started 2016 finally, and it was where the first InsurTech batches started. We used an accelerator in the very beginning. It was the very first InsurTech breed. So we are dinosaurs of these movement, but it was exactly the perfect timing, I think. Yeah.
So, you know, obviously, you know, MassUp is sort of in the InsurTech world. Can you tell our listeners what the product is and what problem you're trying to solve?
MassUp is a so-called digital MGA, and we offer white-label insurance products. That means we are not concentrating on technology, but you can get insurance products for any kind of P&C purposes, whatever, bike, smartphone, private liability, etc. But the point is, as white label, we deliver it, including risk capacity, including pricing, underwriting, etc. So it's really done, and you just have to put your label on it and sell it in your stores. And based on our technology, we can do that instantly. So you can sell tomorrow, and really tomorrow, if you want, try something new. And the third point is the global scale. So we started in Germany, but we had from the very beginning with our partners the approach to do it internationally. And so you can use it as well for international purposes directly as well. So the big point is we're solving that you can have a very flexible insurance product. And that's because we learned in the first years, we started as a technology idea with MassUp, as a software as a service that you can sell insurances online. And we saw we just pick insurances on the market. But we found out very early that the people were not happy because the products were not flexible. So if you want to use it for another channel and you want to have another deductible, you want to have maybe another rate, but different conditions, etc., the insurance programs were very static. The insurance programs are built to stay 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And if you want to always a change on that, insurance company says, yes, you can do, but it will take you a year. So, and that's where we always got problems because our clients wanted to do it differently. So that's why we then, together with our partners, decided to build own insurance products, but that are flexible. So that's a need until today. So we have it in Chile, the same product, for example, in 3 different stages with 3 different deductibles tariffs, but based on the same product, what we can play out directly in different channels. So this flexibility is one main differentiator for us.
I mean, you spoke an interesting point. You spoke about the evolution of your product over the years. I mean, how have you as a team evolved it? Is there a specific process or framework that you've used? Yeah, it'll be interesting to find out and dive into that.
Yeah, sure. We follow very certain development stages that we developed in the agency over the years. There are some known methods. Yes, we did as well, the business canvas, etc. A lot of his expert talks. And it was a very good helpful. We started with an accelerator in Startup Bootcamp in London as well. So we used all the time to talk to experts to prove our business model. But we had certain development stages from sketching, from business modeling, and then over to a POC and UX works out where we always had proof from external partners, external surveys, etc., and then developed a product further on. But the main topic was that we started as a technical solution. And that was really just to find out when we started business. We had very early first clients. It's used in German by banks and insurers, and they used the solution, were happy with it. But like I said, we found out with the product that we had a product, and we couldn't just find that out in after 1 year in the market when we started, okay, that's a missing link. So that was really learned by practice in the market and to evaluate the feedback from our customers, the feedback what we saw in the market. So you have to go out and talk and get the feedback and then develop further. And that's a sign maybe of startups to learn then very fast and move on. Yeah.
Yeah, evolve your product based off, you know, your customers' needs right now.
Yeah, correct. And it's an overall changing all the time. So then we started with small products. Now, like smartphone, for example, because the customers was a need for this. Smartphone is a difficult product. We could solve it. But now we are evolving into more complex products, more global products. So there's a steady evolvement. But it's always around product. The technology is still there, it's state of the art. We enable our clients to use it. They replace some internal systems with it, but it's enabling. Our focus is really delivering a flexible white label product, but more for more purposes. And we learned, that's a very interesting learning for us. We started in Germany. We saw that Germany is a great insurance market. We do it here. But when we started in London in the accelerator, we directly had an international approach. We talked to French people. We talked to a lot of other European countries. We talked to American people. And then we got a link to South America. So we learned in other regions, the insurance product is not totally different, but it's another density, another penetration, and there's another need for these products and much more open markets. So we directly built our solution to be used globally with a global cloud platform, with global measurements for our product to adjust to a local market needs, etc. So that's something that was really coming very from the beginning from the accelerator.
That's an interesting point. I mean, market dynamics, different needs in different jurisdictions. I mean, you mentioned it was a global product in the end, but did you have to cater for specific needs in, for example, Chile or for in France or what have you? So slightly adapt your product for those customers.
Exactly. And I have to mention at this point that we have one global partner. That's Willis Re. We learned with them in UK. They're partners, strategic partners for us now for years. And they help us for sure with getting capacity for our products, etc. But they help us as well with the global distribution of our products. But that's one big anchor for us. And now, based on that, we got really requests nearly from all over the world. So I just discussed to South American people, I just discussed to a lot of different Chinese, Asian markets, Thailand, Vietnam, Singapore, etc. And we talked as well to markets like Arabia. So we have a really good overview what you can do. And that's all based on P&C products. And you see for sure you have similarities in every market and our general solution can be used there, but you need adaptations. So some for regulation, different kind of products, some need an e-signature, what we don't even have in Germany, some need a different liability course and that. So an extra confirmation, et cetera. So it's always adjustments that will be learned over the last 2 years to the product. So the one side is, yes, we have one general framework that fits nearly most of the market, but every market needs at least a slight or bigger adjustment. So that was a big learning curve, very interesting. So if you talk to Japanese insurance colleagues, if you talk to Arabian colleagues, it's, you really have to get deep dive into culture as a German. So it's really, really interesting. Besides interesting, you have to do some work. It's not so directly use everything from Europe everywhere else. Yeah, but that's a big ride in the last 2 years. Yeah,
cool. And I mean, you've briefly touched on it. Let's explore it a bit more. Some of the biggest obstacles that you've faced during this period, and how have you learned from them to fuel your success now?
Yeah. Well, we're learning every day. It's far not in the end. So some learnings are like we expected, and they're not due to the branch, to the industry. So for example, insurance is not fast. Discussions about regulations, discussions about local insurers, reinsurers, etc., always take a lot of time. So, and if you saw it in the beginning, we thought 1 or 2 years, but it can be easily discussing 1 year per market until you start at something. And anyhow, for sure, a pandemic doesn't help. So it's cost 6 months on top on that. So that's a very long lasting part. And especially in our case, because we are totally B2B focused. So we have first launched with partners in the local market. So you have first to find them and then with them convince the local partners. So that's a long ride as B2B sales is. It's always like this, we knew it, but with the insurance obstacles, etc., that's maybe an extra portion of longevity. So that's a big learning. The other learning is for sure culture, expected as well, but you need adjustments there. You need a different regulation. Some of our products can be directly used in markets. In other markets, they had to be filed extra words. There's a lot of more smaller learning and adjustment for each market, what we had to tackle in the last 2 years. So.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And I mean, let's take a couple of steps back. I mean, it sounds like obviously you guys have got a good product. You've been partnered up with some great companies. But in the early days, what tactics did you use to create product awareness? And how has this evolved over the years?
Okay, it's two things. The one thing is you do with some own stuff about LinkedIn, about accelerators. For us, it was a good hub and the whole network around it afterwards. Where you can have contacts, talked about partnerships, etc. That's a great help, and you have intensively work with your network, reach out to people, be behind it, etc. So that's a very big part as a very beginning. And the second part is for sure some influencer. Give your information to some certain people. Introtech and the insurance business is not so big, but you can be on the radar on several people with a few calls and hints. That's the standard part. The other part is that we, in the investor partners, always reached out in the beginning for people who can deliver to our business. Every partner we have on board has a certain angle to drive our business. Willis Re, I mentioned already, is a big help for capacity and worldwide distribution. I'd say it's a great partner, great work, and it opened many doors. We have a Hampden Group that's a Lloyd's market syndicate and partner over there, so it has direct access to some people that we use. So we have MediaMan with all the technical resources involved as well. We have a lot of fun, and we have people who know very well the German and Berlin Intratech scene, etc., where we have cooperation over there. So every of these partners has a direct delivery and need for our business. So, and it's a very good combination between us. We can talk directly. We talk very openly. We talk very frequently. It's not a simply take the money and let's see in a year what we have made of it, but it's more a working relationship. And that's on that level, especially with a big company like Willis. That's very special. And that we worked on that, but we selected it from the very beginning that we wanted to have that. So that helps a lot. Because then you can use leverage this network as well and work with them together and grow the business.
I mean, it's slightly diverting here, but I think you touched on a great point, working relationships. I mean, obviously, from a leadership perspective, you guys have had to make a call on the culture of the company. And that sounds right off the bat that that's obviously meant you've found great partners and able to leverage different businesses and also different skills to start the scale-up process and maybe accelerate the scale-up process.
Again, we were lucky that our roots are based in an agency. That is, like I said, we're working all over the world. So we have offices as well for development in China, in Munich, in Sofia, etc. So we are used to work in different networks, but helped us a lot in the pandemic as well. So we were used to this kind of work as well. We had already a build-up that we are used to use different talent and different scalability methods. So that is a real advantage that you normally don't have if you have a fresh startup with five people. That was one big part. And yeah, the other point is you have to work on these relationships and really show that you involve the people, talk to them, get them really interested and get them on board that way. Yeah. But the other part is you select. You know your business, you have a business idea, and you select what it could be the right partner as an investor. So it's not simply looking, need to raise the 1 million and to find something, but it's more, which value do we need in the business? And I think the mindset from us in the beginning was not, we build an insurtech, we get millions, and then we go to Rio or to Bahamas or whatever. We, like with MediaMan, we try to start a new business that is sustainable. And so we selected partners. Yes, they brought in some money. They shared the same business idea. So, and that depends on you, which approach you have in the beginning, but that was ours.
Okay, and you mentioned some of your tactics to create product awareness in the early days was using platforms such as LinkedIn. So what type of activities or what type of things did you do on platforms such as LinkedIn, maybe Facebook and others to create that awareness?
Besides many stuff, it's getting a bit more overwhelming. But yes, LinkedIn is a good hub, but as well the insurance platforms. So like accelerators already mentioned, we have in Germany some built insurtech hubs, so where you can use these platforms, concentrated on conferences, elected approach, very business orientated, what you can without investing a lot of money. But it's more personal involvement, getting there, talk to the people, and many reach out to talk and use these network and widen the network. So that's the more hub. And for sure, the other opportunities come by the partners that they say, hey, we are here on this conference, for example, in Singapore, where we important Asian markets. There's every year a big conference for insurers, reinsurers. You get invited to these guys. So use the business platforms that the partners deliver.
That's
a lot part of the work as well. And just third hub is for sure that we, in each market, we have to approach the local partner, because we know the German market very well. Build that knowledge with people in Chile or Colombia. That will take a lot of time and a lot of invest. So we are using local partners that already have a network, like we in Germany, where we trust in. We invest in building the relationship with them and use their network as well to present and to sell the idea. So that's more a market approach, but it's also a hub to share our awareness.
Okay, cool. It totally makes sense. I mean, use different avenues to create that awareness, either digitally or obviously sort of the face-to-face general channels. I guess we've spoken about this in a way, but I'll ask you it anyway. There's obviously a process that you've gone through to make certain that your product is ready and is also fitting exactly what your customers required. Is it a specific framework again? Is it a specific process? Or is it simply a case of evolution that we spoke about early on to make certain that your product fits the market needs?
Well, we had a process for the start where we developed the technology and then set different marks and just proved it against it for different milestones. So that's a classic approach. And then for sure, we tried intensively to work with our first clients to work on the solution and what would you need as well, what would you need more. So that's more the standard approach. For sure, the other part is market research. Always look what's happening on the market. What is the next topic? What people are talking about? What they need? And that's a constant research from our side as well, not for our own topics, but the whole industry. And the third approach is that we have steady review points with our partners. So there's every 2 months, there's a steady review. Are we on the right track? What have we learned from last time? What is new development? And get the feedback. And you always have, like I mentioned before, that's an expert round. So these guys are insurance board members, insurance experts at all, from different aspects of the industry. If you get them in a room and discuss with them very openly what you should take, then you get a much, much more valuable feedback than you can ever get from your own mind and own team. And these expert rounds then directly flew into what we develop in the next steps. So yeah, that's mainly the main topics.
Okay. And as you're building out a product, obviously we need to find our ideal customers. And it seems like you've had the accelerator, you've had the experts, you've also used some digital platforms. As a business, how are you changing the way you find your ideal customers? Has that evolved over the last 5 or so years? What's your view on that?
It has evolved and it will evolve more. The first step was really just getting a first POC partners, like in Germany, etc. So the accelerator stage. Then we got Willis in and we did big roadshows internal the company and with their clients, where they picked the clients and said, that's an interesting part of it. So when we got some great clients, some great feedback from that all over the world. So that was a big road trip. So the next step then was to find local partners that can build on these first steps and build further business on, and to bring their clients on and bring their distribution on and build a distribution around our solution and products. So that is the third step. And for sure, once we learn more about the market, let's say 1 or 2 years, then we try and have to build own sales teams. So our next step will be to for sure widen up our sales organization from a small team using the partners' resources then to build it on their own. So that will be our next step. Right before the pandemic, we were in the first step to do that in Asia. Like I said, the Southeast Asian region in China is a great market for all kind of products. And we already were about to start in Singapore and then really had to delay the plans. I hope we get back to that as soon as we are in a more stable conditions. But that would be a first step then to build small teams and then build a sales organization over there. So that was a clear, very, very clear path from us.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense. And, you know, obviously you started and then been delayed somewhat on building that sales team. But what challenges do you think you'll face with respect to building up your sales pipeline in the next, you know, sort of 6 to 12 months?
Given that we have normal conditions, for sure we have everything what you have. You have to steer teams that are far away from your own hub. So you have these topics. We have some experience with China, US, like I said before, but will be a new level on that. You have to hire people that you don't have to sit next to you. So that's a topic. Who do you trust? Who do you build a team? How do you grow that? How do you find the right hats as a starting point? So these kind of HR problems that you always have with these stuff. So that will be a first step to trickle. Then again, how much time will it take? Like I said, B2B business is not easy in general. In insurance, it's especially not something that happens tomorrow. So we will need a lot of patience, I believe, to build it. And then for sure, we have always the point that we have competition in that field as well. So I think we have a quite unique position now with our products and technology. But for sure, if you look to China, what develops there, you have a lot of great competition. So as well, so that will be something, a time race, that we get a first market approach and share to get a more stable situation in these countries. And that's getting together. B2B insurance taking time a lot, and then being fast enough to be there in the market. So that's maybe one main challenge.
And I mean, you guys are obviously going through a scaling period or on the cusp of that right now. And you've also mentioned the pandemic a few times in our chat today. What's your approach to growth in the next 6 to 12 months? And how are you going to make certain you sort of achieve these milestones, considering there's we're in the midst of a pandemic?
Well, the pandemic for sure for our kind of product was not a help. So you don't buy smartphone insurance, you have other problems here. And so therefore many project or sales were slowed down, very simply. But we used the time to build some other distribution partnerships. So we think we will be ready directly once we are getting hopefully back to normal or more to normal. Nobody can say when that will be really, but that's our approach, and then to use that time. And yes, we already were, like I said, on the hub to invest in one or two key markets from us in Southeast Asia. That would be still our goal, to prove it there, to build it there. And then for sure, it's a matter of money at one point. So as soon as we can prove a more stable approach and the times are more stable than that, we will probably try to collect some more money simply to build the sales organization. So and to push it time-wise to get faster to more markets. Yeah. Depends a bit how long we are in this flow.
Yeah, it makes complete sense. And, you know, what's the biggest tip you can give our listeners who are building or optimizing their sales pipeline right now?
Well, the one thing I said already, have the right partners on board. I think that's something, by all the mistakes we did, and we had some detours, etc. So as you always have as a startup, but that is really, really like that. I'm proud of that we have these partners, and that's a big help. Well, think of it in the beginning. Who do you want to involve? How do you get them connected? And I think that can be a very stabilization point and a building point as well. So that's one very important part. And the other point is for sure focus. When I can say from our learnings in the beginning, we started to do several things. Sometimes because we simply could do it technically, we had an advantage and we tried to build everything, but it was not needed from the very beginning. And we tried to do more products, etc., etc. But in the end, you need less and more clear proof points, and then you can start in the end faster. So that's not a new experience, but I can say we experienced as well in the very beginning. Everything was new, everything was bright, and yeah, we do it and we can do everything with our powers in behind. But I think a focus very clearly, technical-wise, product-wise, and market-wise is something that you should consider from the very beginning. Don't get tempted because there's an opportunity, there's something nearby, maybe you can reach it, oh, you know, a friend who can build it, etc., let's do it, and so on. Don't do it. Yeah. Stay with what you have. Stay with the focus here on your experienced advisors and board and investors that you hopefully have done. And I think that's a very, very clear path where you can make very clear decisions as well. Yeah. If it worked out or not.
Yeah, some really great advice. And listen, before we wrap up, how can people find and connect with you and your business?
Well, the easiest is LinkedIn. I try to be polite and answer everything. So even if it's not fit, you can write me. That's an easy point. Yeah, for sure. We have a website, messup.de. So you can write me. But again, LinkedIn is the very simplest and easiest way. It's you who say, everybody who writes me.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, listen, Fabian, thanks for joining the show today and really look forward to watching your business go from strength to strength in the next few weeks, few months, and few years. It's been great insight into what it takes to go from startup to getting a product out to various locations, and really great insight, and appreciate you taking the time today.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me. Hope there was some good advice that your listeners can use.
Definitely, lots of great advice. Thanks again, and look forward to catching up soon.